540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. Several long-held Americans are returning from Iran. CBS's Tom Foti reports.
As part of an exchange deal involving five Iranians held here and Iranian money, five Americans the U.S. wanted out of long Iranian captivity are in fact now out.
Our fellow citizens are free after enduring something that I think it would be difficult for any of us to imagine.
Secretary of State Antony Blinken, Tom Foti, CBS News, Washington.
Some 13,000 auto workers are picketing at GM, Ford, and Stellantis plants in the Midwest, and the United Auto Workers president, John Fain, has announced in an online video.
Noon on Friday, September 22nd, is a new deadline. Either the big three get down to business and work with us to make progress in negotiations, or more locals will be called on to stand up and go out on strike.
Earlier today, Stellantis called the resumed negotiations constructive. The U.S. Marine Corps is implementing a two-day stand-down for all of its aviation units as the debris field for a missing F-35 jet is found in a South Carolina cotton field. It disappeared after the pilot ejected safely yesterday and is the third crash in recent weeks. CBS News military analyst Jeff McCausland.
It's unclear why the Marine Corps was unable to track this aircraft, as normally it has a transponder that continues to provide location on this type of a training flight. Apparently, it is believed that particular transponder malfunctioned.
A Palmdale, California man is arrested in the ambush murder of L.A. County Sheriff's Deputy Ryan Klinkenbrumer. The deputy was fatally shot in the head Saturday. CBS's Elise Preston reports surveillance footage shows he was sitting in his patrol car near headquarters when it happened.
The outpouring of sorrow has been immense. Klinkenbrumer, who just got engaged, had been with the Sheriff's Department for 8 years. Both his father and grandfather had also served as deputies.
A Charlotte, North Carolina family and their attorney have told Boston police that their daughter believes a cell phone camera she says she found in an airplane bathroom was possibly put there by a male flight attendant. WBZ-TV's Mike Sullivan.
If you look at that, it's obvious what it was meant to film, and that was filming a child.
American Airlines says they take the matter seriously and are fully cooperating with law enforcement. However, the family has not received any contact from the airline.
We will wait to see if the flight attendant is going to be arrested, if charges will be filed.
Right now, their main concern is their daughter's well-being.
Michigan State's athletic director has told suspended football coach Mel Tucker he's being fired without compensation for alleged sexual misconduct with an activist and rape survivor. The notice provides Tucker with 7 calendar days to respond. This is CBS News.
You need to hire fast and hire right? You need Indeed. Their all-in-one hiring platform helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates efficiently. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Saturdays and Sundays at 1, don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Saturdays and Sundays at 1 on the Civic Media Network and on the Civic Media app.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
Two kinds of politicians, those who want to be and those who want to do. Tommy Thompson, John McCain, I would put Tony Evers in this category. They're guys who are running because there were things that they wanted to do.
The Todd Alba Show.
Now contrast that to Hillary Clinton, I would argue, or Donald Trump. Sure, there are things they want to do, but ultimately, they are like Scott Walker. They were people who want to be.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
It's a good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kadagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions, you are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. We discuss local and national Native news and events, and as you know, Haley, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
They are, Robert. This portion of the show is supported by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, you know, I always say that we always have a special show, so it's kind of redundant, but I feel like we have a really special show tonight here on Native Roots Radio, and we have the president of Minnetonka on here, and I want to get Jory on here right away, and let's talk about what's happening with Minnetonka and what, you know, the exciting things, and I've had the opportunity to talk to you off air. And just the things that are happening, and I'm really, really excited to have you on, and let's get this show on the road here.
Thanks for having us.
Let's talk a little bit about your company here, and it's been around for, I believe, over 80 years, and let's talk about where you've come from and where you're at now and all these really good things. I think everybody in the country is familiar with your shoes and your products over the years. And I know I've had some moccasins over the years, and I'm here to say I'm really excited to have you and our other special guest on. But let's start with you, Jory.
Thanks, Robert. So Minnetonka has been around since 1946. And it's been a family business. I work with my dad, who's our CEO. My grandfather still works. He's 92, and I have a cousin in the business. And we have, been around for many decades and seen a lot of trends come and go, a lot of things in the country come and go. And we have a lot of history with that. And of course, we're here to talk about our reconciliation work. And do you want me to just jump in and start diving in on that?
Right, exactly. And again, I just wanted a little background so we all know who, what business we're talking about. But yeah, let's jump right into it and get our other guest involved in here. And I'm just excited to talk about this because, like I said earlier, we've had quite a few conversations over the last couple of years and the great work that you and your family is doing. So let's get rolling.
We have had some good talks. Yeah. So we were, I'm trying to think back into pre-COVID days. It's hard to imagine now, but we were, to be totally transparent, really paralyzed for a few years there by fear. Once we realized we were appropriating, there were decades, you know, those first few decades in the company, it wasn't an understanding that we had. And so I've been in the business almost 13 years now. And when we first started to understand what that concept was and understand what we were doing, we were paralyzed, like I said, by fear of what to do next and how to move forward and how to even talk about this in any way. And the first thing that we did is I actually reached out to somebody who I knew. We weren't really good friends. We were friendly and had known each other in school. And I reached out to her and she became our first Native American advisor. Mm-hmm. And that was in the fall of 2019. That's why I said, oh, I gotta think back for a second. And so that was that was in the fall of 2019. And she was really honest, direct, supportive, clear. And it was a really, I'll never forget, we had lunch. It was me and David Miller, our CEO, and her. And it was just, frankly, a life-changing lunch to have this conversation, the first one. So from there, we began to just meet people in the community and through people. And we had the opportunity to meet with a few people who became advisors more. So we had a few. And then when George Floyd was murdered, a fair number of our employees lived in the area where there was a lot of unrest. And it was also at a time, you know, it was a few months into COVID, we all remember. And it was at a time when we kind of were able to say, hang on a second, we're figuring out how everybody can work and deal with this COVID thing and try and keep the business open. And now this happens. And it really, this topic of how we can be more committed to this community and how we can deal with our cultural appropriation really went to the back to the top of the list and has stayed there ever since. So from there, that summer in 2020, we published on our website the first, we call it our letter of commitment, where we called it what it is, which is appropriation. We apologized for it and we said, check back in the fall and we're going to have more of a plan. And then we did update with more of a plan. Here are some of the things we're going to do to change, to show up better. And so that was the first step. And then we met Adrian Benjamin, who's on with us. We met Adrian through one of those advisors. I think the first conversation was in very early January of 2021. So that kind of takes us up to when we met Adrian, and I'm not going to speak for her, but I know she was like, okay, I guess I'll talk to these people. So you can speak for yourself.
Well, can I, before you come on, I have to say this. Before we had our conversation, and it had to do with Native Roots Trading Post, which we just finished up at the fair, I want to just give you big props on that letter of commitment. That's a big deal here in Native country, that anyone that admits any kind of wrongdoing to Native Americans is just you know, it never happened. So I just got to give you a big shout out here on Native Roots Radio. And I think that's why it's really important for us here to have you both on today and talk about this, because people, especially the way history's been taught, people don't really want to cop a plea of appropriation or any wrongdoing, because they can blame it on the school system. They can blame it on other things. But you took responsibility and are moving forward, and that's huge. I just want to say that before we get any further, and we're really excited to have you both on.
Thank you.
And well, we want you to introduce yourself to our audience too. Now we only have a minute left in this segment, but we want to have everyone a total anticipation for when we come back. Can you introduce yourself?
Absolutely. So, Anin, I'm a Kagabwe Koi Indigenous Cause. Adrian Benjamin is my name. I am currently the reconciliation advisor with for Minnetonka, and also an artist and youth worker, activist, all the kinds of different things that I've done in my career. So
that's awesome. Hey, that was the teaser we wanted. Hey, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we're going to talk to Minnetonka here about what's happening and how they are embedding themselves in the community in a good way. So this is Native Roots Radio, and we'll be right back after this short break.
Stay with us.
We are your relatives.
We are your relations.
Brothers.
Sisters.
Sons.
Daughters.
And some of us are your grandchildren.
We are your community. Historically, we held places of honor and respect. Because of the impact of colonization, some of us are rejected, thrown out from family, friends, and community, set up as targets for sexual violence, sex trafficked, humiliated, tortured, and murdered. Everybody has the right to be safe. We are your relatives. Remember,
homophobia is not traditional.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Be a vaccinative. It's time to come together and talk about the urgent need to stay up to date on COVID-19 vaccinations to protect our heritage, our loved ones, and our future. Throughout history, we have always faced challenges, and today we must protect our culture and loved ones. This is our opportunity to ensure that our tribal gatherings once again resound with joy and celebration, where the echoes of our ancestors guide our steps. It's a chance to care for our elders, cherishing their wisdom and stories for generations to come. COVID-19 vaccines are safe and effective. Let us unite, resilient as ever, and show the world the strength of the Native American community. Together, we shape a future where our traditions thrive, our children learn from our ancestors, and our people flourish once more. So be a vaccinative and learn more about staying up to date with your COVID vaccinations at health.state.mn.us. That's health.state.mn.us. This message is brought to you in partnership with the Minnesota Department of Health.
J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Hi, this is Representative Charisse Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Looks like you are muted there, Haley.
Yes, apologies. My computer is lagging. Now having a little bit of Wi-Fi issues. This portion of the show is supported by J.S. Bean Factory off Randolph Avenue in St. Paul. Native-owned, bringing us the best coffee that keeps us awake.
I am awake. Hey, we are having a really kick-butts show today here to start the week off here, and we're with Jory and Adrian, and we are talking about Minnetonka and also what's happening in Minnetonka. And I would like you to finish introducing yourself in a good way. You're the advisor, and let's talk a little about your reconciliation advisory job.
Sure. So, just kind of pick up where Jory left off. So I started working. I started my conversations, I'll say that, with Minnetonka after being, an elder in the Minneapolis community actually came to me and said, I know that I've been talking to this company and they've done some appropriation over the years and they're looking for somebody to kind of maybe lead an effort to, you know, do right by that. Are you interested? And I was like, maybe. So I'm really deep into, you know, systems change and heart work and community, and that's really all important things to me. So I guess when I first heard about it, I was like, we need to meet, I need to feel it out. Cause I think I've just, you know, over the years I've worked with schools and different organizations. And I think a lot of folks, you know, feel like it's a box that can be checked and that it's not something that has to be ongoing. And so for me, that was really the litmus test of the conversation to really feel out, you know, with David and Jory, where they were with their own internal work as far as this goes.
Yeah, that's, us natives have been, dissed before. So it's really good that we have to keep our eyes and ears peeled. We always remember Manhattan was bought by a few beads and some trinkets, and we need to always keep our eye out. So how did that first meeting go? I mean, obviously you're here, but, there's so much going on when it comes to education, as it sounds like you're in education too, that, you know, people are fighting not to talk about the truth, and we have our own truth, and then there's truth that's taught in schools. And so we're always a little, and I don't know if I want to use the word paranoid, but we're always a little slow in moving when we talk to people with good news, let's say.
Yeah. So the conversation obviously went very well. And I think that the main point that really struck me with both Jory and David was, you know, the admission, you know, like you said, I think the apology and that piece of things and just even the acknowledgement, you know, as I've done this work and we've gone forward with a lot of our efforts, I think, you know, I really like to look at it from, you know, like a relational standpoint, right? Like of person to person, like if someone was to wrong each other just on a personal level, like what are the things that need to happen to repair that relationship? And so that's kind of how I approached this. And the fact that the acknowledgement was there on their end. And, you know, I think that they were really open to feeling, you know, the shame of it also, which is like almost like a taboo word for a lot of folks. But I think that they were able to be in that and were really honest and, you know, truthful about what had occurred. And I think I'll even go one step further to say that and I'll let Jory talk on this, but I think now it's even become such deeper work than what I think any of us ever set out to do, even for me and my learning with it as well. And I think I think I said this on another podcast, but I want to say it here too, is just like someone asked me like, so if a company comes up to you and wants to talk about reconciliation work, what's something they should know? And I think when I think the most about this, it's that this can't be something that's like a click in your company that you're like, okay, we're going to do this now and pay these people and then it's done. Like this work is so deep internally in your own, you know, systems and the way that you were brought up and the historical context and all those things that you mentioned previously. Like, I don't think that it's possible to separate the two.
No, it isn't. And it kind of reminds me, too, of sometimes we fall into this land acknowledgement. It's like, I know whose land this is. this isn't up to me to educate you. And I think that's gone. Do you know what I'm saying? It's like, take, you know, and it sounds like, you know, Minnetonka is doing more than or per se land acknowledgement. They're doing the work, and that's heavy lifting. That is definitely heavy lifting. Jory, how was that first conversation there? How did that go?
Obviously great, but I will say, you know, one thing that really drew us to Adrienne was she has a deep belief in systematic change. She believes mm-hmm. it's possible. And one thing we've talked about many times is, you know, this is a 77-year-old company, and I'm the fourth generation. If I were starting a company today, would it look anything like this? No, of course it wouldn't. But that's, if things are going to change, you need every system to contribute, right? You need government to participate. You need the nonprofit sector to participate. You do need new businesses that have better things as part of their mission. And I love seeing those. My mission in life is to take an old company and turn it and to show up better. So we need all of those things plus many more, of course. But to kind of come to that was something I think we really connected on is, you know, can we undo hundreds of years of not good, just the work we're doing in the next few years or only in this generation? No, but can we really make real progress and show up in a different way? And so we really connected on that. And then also just Adrienne has a really great way about her. She's so honest. She's so thoughtful. And she does so in a way that can make you feel safe. And we laugh a lot too. And so it was also like you were referring to earlier, Adrienne, like sometimes you just have to like vibe with people. And especially if you're going to be really vulnerable and deal with some hard stuff. And so that element was there too.
This is an amazing show. And I want to ask you something, Jory, too, before we move on. How much pushback, and you don't have to name names, but how much pushback did you get from your family? You know, I've kind of wondered about that because obviously you're younger, you sound progressive. You were brought up in a different era as your parents, and not that they're, you know, not that they're not good people, but maybe this is not in their jam.
You know, my dad, who's our CEO, has been so on board with this, and we would not be doing all of this work, and we wouldn't be as far as we were if he weren't totally on board, or if I were dragging him along. We were just talking about this on Friday, actually, and we were doing this something with Adrienne and some of the artists who we're working with, and he and I were walking, and I was just saying to him, even though, you know, I sometimes can take the lead in this way, or I'm sitting here with you and not him, we've absolutely partnered on this, and credit to him because he is of a different generation. Mm-hmm. So it's been one of, if not the most meaningful thing that we have done together, working together, and that we will continue to do. And the rest of our family has taken our lead, and we've been educating them along the way, and they're along for it, but we've definitely been closest to it. We work in the business, and yeah, that part has been really special, to be honest.
That's awesome, because I did have a chance to meet with your father and yourself in a meeting a few years ago, and I really did catch a really good vibe from your dad. That's awesome, and that's why I think this is a really exciting show. Adrienne, so what's the next steps here? I mean, this is exciting things. Do we infiltrate Minnetonka with many, many native designs, or how are we going here?
I think that's exactly where we're going. you know, a big part of this, when we stepped into like the planning process, or once once we realize where, what it should be, right? Like, what does this look like? What is this like personal journey of reconciliation for Minnetonka Moccasins? I think that was one of the first things that we talked about, aside from like, hey, the first thing has to, it is the acknowledgement. The second thing has to be an apology. And then it like, for me, that was a big piece in that first conversation too. Like, is this going to be continued work, or is it going to be like, this is, you know, a one-off effort. You're going to do a couple things here and then call it good. You know, like, I wasn't signing up for that. But what's really great is Jory made it very clear, like, this is a forever thing for the company. As long as this is in existence, they want to continue these relationships that we're building. And I see the 30 seconds left, so more after the break.
Right. Broadcasting to Waukesha at 101.1 FM. Broadcasting to Southeast Wisconsin at 540 AM. This is The Shaw, WAUK.
CBS News Brief. Five Americans detained in Iran are heading home after a prisoner exchange and the unfreezing of Iranian money. Iran expert Aaron David Miller says of the two countries' relationship,
at best, we're talking about a de-escalation. And frankly, I think that's the administration's strategy right now, is to try to preempt a major crisis in the region.
UAW President Sean Fain says in an online video that strikes will begin at new plants on Friday at noon Eastern time if no serious progress is reached with the Big Three.
Auto workers have waited long enough to make things right at the Big Three. We're not waiting around, and we're not messing around.
The debris of an F-35 jet is found in Williamsburg County, South Carolina, the third crash in recent weeks. CBS News military analyst Jeff McCausland.
Marine Corps Commandant Eric Smith has issued a two-day stand down to take place at some point during this week for all aviation units, both inside and outside the United States.
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
Ready to ride?
Just let me get my flip-flops on.
Whoa, Mom and Dad are going for a ride without their protective gear.
Quick, grab the checklist. I'll grab the gear.
Where do you two think you're going without your safety gear?
Yeah, you know how we feel about riding without your gear.
Well, it's so nice out.
And we're only going for a short ride.
Not before you put all this gear on, you're not.
But,
riding pants?
Okay.
Check.
Motorcycle boots?
Bye-bye, flip-flops.
Check.
Armored jackets?
Nice.
Check.
Riding gloves?
Two pairs.
Check.
Last but not least, full-face helmets.
Check.
Now you're ready to ride.
And you look cool.
All the gear, all the time. Zero in Wisconsin. Together, we can save lives. Learn more at zeroinwisconsin.gov.
Be home on time for dinner.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Transportation.
More than 80 million Americans depend on AM radio each month for news, weather, and emergency information. A new bill in Congress would make sure AM radio remains in cars. Because when cell and internet services are down, this free service could be your only lifeline. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Yeah. Todd Albo would normally be sharing his dulcet tones with us, but you'll recall that last week, Todd was having issues with the cable company, with an internet connection. I'm now thinking, Todd Albo, did you break Spectrum? Are you responsible for this ESPN mess?
I seem to have broke everything else, so it wouldn't surprise me, no.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning, 6 till 8. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees.
I feel like the four medicines coming together and I don't want to sound hokey, but I really, I don't know, I'm kind of emotional listening to this show and being a part of it. What do you think, Jory? I just, it's pretty crazy.
Yeah, Adrian and I have a standing call on Mondays, and we get into all of this every week, and it is, it's been, you can't separate out the personal from the professional here, and it's the most meaningful thing that I do, that we work on, that we're doing this. So yeah, thank you for saying that. You know, one of the best examples I think of the work that we've done together and Adrian is, we were about to, I know we were before the break about to start to talk about products and what we have coming up, which we will get to and is great. But I do want to go back for one second and share that we were about to launch our first collaboration with our first Native American artist, with Adrian, and she said, hold up, we've never publicly talked about the work that we're doing together. So we can't just like start selling a product, that's too much at once. And Adrian, you really like pushed pause on us and made us just take a minute. And we said, we thought we were putting action behind words. A lot of people on this topic and others have a lot to say, and maybe they don't do as much. So we thought we were doing both, but we of course listened and trusted that. And that was an article in the Star Tribune in fall of 21 that Adrian was quoted in, along with one of our other advisors. And it was the most public apology that we had done, because even though we had put it up on our site over a year before, that's just on our website. That's not the same as doing some press about it. So we were shocked by the interest in that, and by how much that got picked up. And it was really, of course, Adrian was totally right to steer us in that direction, but it's a good peek behind how this relationship works and what she does as a, you know, it's like, what is a reconciliation advisor? I mean, it's being really thoughtful and saying, okay, that's one way of looking at it, but I know we need to do this other thing. So, you know, we did that, and it was Adrian, it was me and you and David Miller and, our director of marketing, Katie. And I don't mean that in an arrogant way, but we didn't hire like a PR, you know, crisis firm to write something. It was really personal, which gets back to what you were just saying, Robert, which is what made me think of it. It was a personal thing for us, and mm-hmm. how we talked about it was very real. So
yeah,
it's a good foundation before we go on to all the great things that we are working on with amazing artists.
Absolutely. I just got to say too, Adrian, I don't know if you know this, but I have a store called Native Roots Trading Post, and I have my Hinu and Weeha run it. And we were at the fair, and we fight appropriation one t-shirt at a time. And there's a lot of appropriation at the fair, as we know. But hey, let's talk about the designers you're working with. And let's talk about what we can see in the website and see in the beginning year magazine, because that's always fun to look through. Tell us what's happening.
Well, we have, Adrian, do you want to talk about what you've done? You were our first artist that we worked with.
Sure. So what she was talking about, I at the time when this was all starting and kind of in the middle of COVID, I was beating hats. And so I did a 40 hat launch. I did 10 of 4 different colorways. That was the first thing that happened. Then from there, we started working with Red Lake Anishinaabe artist Lucy Shefty, who's also Minneapolis native. And she actually did the first factual Native American designed beadwork for Minnetonka, and she came out with her Ziegun Wabigun mock here last spring. And so that was major steps those are things that have already happened on top of working with different organizations. I think that that part should be talked about as well, because there is community efforts actually with NACC, who was on here. I've done some jingle dress classes with them. Each one of the times that an artist works with does a design launch, they have the option of a percentage of their profits to go to a nonprofit organization, native organization of their choice. So a lot of this work is really beyond just, you know, pulling in artists and doing this stuff. There's so many different aspects to it that have been really meaningful, more than just like a public apology and all these different things. It's like, it really is like so well-rounded of an effort. And I'm not saying that just to, but I feel like it is super thoughtful, right? In every way possible that it can be, we really try to do it. So, but I'll defer to Jory to talk about future stuff, because I don't want to blow something over and can't be talked about.
So we've worked with Adrian on two different hat launches, which sold out, and on a shoe design that was inspired by the hat launch. We've worked with Lucy, like Adrian just mentioned. The next Lucy design is launching on Indigenous Peoples Day of this year, the Ashinok. It's a new beaded design named after her niece. And we do not have, I mean, one thing Adrian and I are super aligned on, we do not have some arbitrary quota of how many collaborations to launch each year and how many artists to work with. We've worked with Adrian on multiple things, and we've worked with Lucy on multiple things, and we want to build relationships. And so we're going to keep working with them. We have a big launch with Lucy next year, and we have a couple other artists that we are launching things with within the next year, starting kind of this fall. So I think people have seen a good amount of Lucy and seen a good amount of Adrian, and they will keep seeing them because they're like in our, you know, we feel like they're part of it now and really value those relationships, but we're going to be working with more and more people too. So it's a combination of new designs and also redesign things that are appropriating. We do have a lot of products, and we can't do, it's a lot to tackle, and it's really, really hard to do all at once. And right. So we're trying to build, and we're trying to gain momentum. So it's a combo of new things and replacing things that are appropriating.
Say, how has your audience responded to this? Obviously, it's a sellout of the hats and the other things that you've had. But what kind of feedback have you heard from your regular customers, or better yet, your people that all over the country? By the way, I was in New York and I saw your shoes when I went to the Hall of Fame last year, and it was like, oh my God, they're right here. Look at this kiosk. This is awesome. What kind of response have you been getting?
Generally speaking, it's been very positive from our accounts, from consumers, from people, and Adrian, it's important you talk about the response you've heard, but I'm not going to lie. Of course, trolls are going to troll. And yes, we've had a couple comments from people that are not on board, you know, you go woke, you're going to go broke or whatever. So that's fine. I mean, everyone's entitled to their opinion, but that's been absolutely the minority compared to the positive response and people feeling good. And, you know, Adrian, we've talked a lot about, I'm not Native. Can I wear this stuff, or am I appropriating, and how can I support? So there have been a lot of people like that who have said, oh, wow, I've started to learn about this too. And now I'm watching you guys, and I'm feeling better about it. So Adrian, right. I don't know if you want to jump in on that, because we've talked about that a lot.
Yeah, so I get asked that question a lot too, like what has been my response, or what have people in you know, the Native community said to me, and I was nervous, you know, because I think it's just super, it's scary to make these inroads and to be the person that's going to lead an effort like this, you know. It's like, I think one thing that's been interesting, or like just comment wise, I haven't heard it personally, but it's like, you know, I think there's so like the reconciliation and the Native experience is such a big thing, and there's so much hurt, there's so much anger, trauma, all of these things that have occurred, right? And I think a lot of people can get things like confused, or they see like one effort here like this with Minnetonka, and they're like, well, what am I gonna see out of that? Well, how is that reconciliation for me or affecting me in some kind of context? But I think that it's in a bigger sense. And I wanted to mention that too, when Dory was talking about what we are doing in the plan, I think what makes this reconciliation also very special, and I think why the community has I guess felt it so well or received it so well, is that I was very like a stickler of keeping these artists local, at least in the beginning of this process, you know, because it's really easy to go out and be like, oh, these people are really big in Indian country and they're doing this, that, and the other thing. But for me, and with this specific effort, it was important. It's like, okay, the economics of reconciliation and all these different pieces have to stay here, and we have to see that benefit. This company is a Minnesota company. It should be working with, you know, local artists, to give back the most that you can feel and see in this area, you know, and being from, you know, where we're located. And I think that that's a bigger, you know, push to Minnetonka as well too, is it's very easy to go after big name artists, but it's even better of a reconciliation effort to raise up folks who haven't got that light before.
Well, I have to have you guys on again. This went way too fast. we have to do this again. Where can we get this information? Do we have a website? Do we go to Minnetonka's website to see what's going on? Because I have many more questions, and I just want to say one thing too. If you're buying something that's made by a Native, we would not be selling it. You would not be selling it, and it's good for people to support the artists and the company that support the artists. So I just wanted to say that, Jory, before we let you guys go. But are we at Minnetonka.com?
MinnetonkaMoccasin.com. We have a suburb here, Minnetonka. So
right. That's right.
That's confusing. Yes, it's all there. It's all there on the site.
Pina Gigi, you too, for being on. Up next, Dr. Stately, a Native American Community Clinic. We'll be right back after this short break. Thanks so much.
Minnesotans age 65 plus might qualify for Health Partners Minnesota Senior Health Options. The plan includes personal support, coverage for medical prescription drugs and dental, plus over 30 extra benefits. Eligibility information is available at healthpartners.com/oneplan. Health Partners is a health plan that contracts with both Medicare and the Minnesota Medical Assistance Medicaid program to provide benefits of both programs to enrollees. Enrollment in Health Partners depends on contract renewal.
The place for autumn fun is the Park Tavern. Live music is taking over the Park Tavern's dog-friendly patio this fall. Head over on Tuesday, September 19th for Bryce Heggie. Wednesday, September 20th, it's Gospel and Grave. And on Thursday, September 21st, it's The Ice Holes. Music runs from 5:30 to 8 p.m. and reservations for groups of 8 or more are recommended. And the Park Tavern offers private and semi-private spaces for small and large groups with no room fees and no minimum spending requirements. On Louisiana Avenue, north of Highway 7 in St. Louis Park, autumn fun is waiting for you at the Park Tavern.
Back to school season is here. And while this is an exciting time for parents, kids, and educators, let's not forget how far we've come in our battle against COVID-19. We're in a better place, but COVID-19 is still here, and we need to continue to help protect our communities. With the flurry of new schedules and classrooms, let's not overlook the fundamentals of staying safe. Wash your hands regularly and watch for any symptoms like fever, chills, a cough, or shortness of breath. Should you or someone you know have COVID-19 symptoms, stay home and get tested. Find more tips on continuing to be safe at health.state.mn.us. Let's have this back-to-school season be a time of renewed commitment to our collective health and brighter future for our Native communities. Again, find more tips on continuing to be safe at health.state.mn.us.
This message is brought to you in partnership with the Minnesota Department of Health.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Hey, we are here with Dr. Stately, and we're going to have a quick update. It's really good to see you, Dr. Stately. Understand you're super, super duper busy, so I really appreciate you stopping in for one segment here and checking in and seeing what's going on. I was in general counsel. I'm still a legislator. I did not get removed. I'm still here.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Congratulations. Yes.
Yeah, one in a row. And but we have a little mini more than a mini breakout in Wisconsin here of COVID. It's coming back.
Yeah, their cases are on the rise in Minnesota too. There's kind of been a report recently, I think, and I would say that it's really a good opportunity for us to remind everybody to go get your COVID booster. In fact, I was just reading an article earlier today. The bivalents are gone. No more bivalents. Mm-hmm. The new booster that's been the new vaccine. It's not even a booster, it's a vaccine. The new vaccine is designed to address some of the newer variants. And the one that we see out now, which I think is, I don't remember the name of it, the official name of it, but I think people call it the Eris. Virus, so or variant. So I think it's really important that people get that if they can, especially if you have vulnerabilities like you're elderly, mm-hmm. you have an immunocompromised disorder of some type, you are young, children with limited immunity yet, probably would be really beneficial for them to have that, you know. So infants 6 months and older, I think it's cleared for. And then, you know, other people who have immunosuppressant disorders like cancer or are on immunosuppressant treatments like cancer and such like.
Hey, I want to remind everyone we're here with Anthony, Dr. Stately. I never call you by your first name because you are a doctor, president and executive officer of Native American Community Clinic here in the Twin Cities in Minneapolis. I see you got my shirt on there. Where did you get that shirt?
Is that your shirt? I think this is too small for you, technically. Yeah. I'm kidding. I'm just teasing you. But this is actually one of the vaccine shirts that came out like 2 years ago or 3 years ago or something like that. I'm just taking really good care of it.
Right.
The one that my cat hasn't ripped up. My cat's ripped up. Yeah. My cat made a hole in my AIM shirt last week. And then, man, I was like, you're lucky. I love you because you'd be dead right. if I didn't love you.
So I was at the Mankato powwow Sunday. Missed you there. But really good to see people and be reminded that, you know, we're all connected, and it's good. It was just really good to see people.
I know. I'm so disappointed I missed that powwow. I think this might be the first summer I haven't gone to it since I moved back from Seattle. It's like one of my favorite powwows. It's small. It's not too, you know, I get to see all the people that I normally don't see anytime else during the year. It's, you know, it's not a competition powwow. It's more of a traditional powwow. You know, it's on the land of the Dakota, the memorial, the land of Memorial Park, right. Land of Memories Park, which is a really significant piece of reconciliation for the Dakota War and the hanging of the 38. It's just a beautiful place to be. And it's always like lovely because it's the end of the summer. It's like the beginning of fall. And so the evenings are cooler and, you know, it's just a lovely powwow. And I missed it this year.
Sadly. You know what was really crazy, Dr. Stately, was the river that you drive by on 169 is almost no water in it.
The drought. Minneapa Falls was completely dried up. The falls was gone at the state park.
That's concerning.
Yeah, it's so sad.
It's so concerning with what's going on with global warming and things like that. And I also got to remember our audience that's listening to us, and especially our audience in Wisconsin, that right down the street, Blue Earth is where Ho-Chunk were for thousands of years, and we're also removed from there. And it's always cool to go down that area and see those signs, and because we call Minnesota the place where blue clay came from, as Ho-Chunk.
Yeah, nice. That's a good reminder. I saw that your guests right before you were like from doing some good work, Minnetonka Moccasin and Adrian Benjamin, their reconciliation advisor. They're awesome people. They have supported a lot of the work that NAC has done over the last couple of years. They've done a couple of moccasin making and jingle dress. Like, I think Adrian's taught a couple of our jingle dress making classes for our traditional healing program. And and they've supported a couple of other things that we do. So they're really wonderful people. They give a lot back.
Yeah, they do. And what was
making an active effort to repatriate or just at least repair harms, historical harms, right? And that's all we really want from people, is make an effort.
When have you ever heard that from a company as big as Minnetonka? I mean, I've never heard of that.
Almost never.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Possibly never. Yeah.
The first of never.
Yeah. I mean, I think that, you know, NAC has done some work around land acknowledgements, because we're in a relationship with the University of Minnesota for a research center, a research project that's really exciting. And someday I'll talk about that here. But part of that was to also develop a land acknowledgement for our research center. Because there's 11 research centers across the United States, and the one here in Minnesota has the only Native American project in all 11 centers.
Wow.
Which we're leading. And but that land acknowledgement process was really challenging, in the sense that, like, you know, it really did teach us and stretch our capacity as partners to have intentional conversations about what has to happen beyond just acknowledging that harm happened. It's not important. It's not enough anymore, especially now post George Floyd murder and the pandemic, to just say, like, harm has happened. Yes, land was taken. These things are true. People have known this for decades, that this is true. Now it's time for us to actually talk about what we're going to do about it, and talk about making commitments, the commitments to repair those harms with the resources that these institutions have. So I'm glad that they're doing that work. Really awesome.
Absolutely. You know, Dr. Stately, you are a busy man. We got less than a minute left. Give us what you want to tell the masses out there. You know, we have over 200,000 listeners and 2, 4, or 5 state area. You got 30 seconds.
Okay. Get your vaccine if you haven't gotten it. Be a good relative. Take care of yourself and someone else if you can. And just show up and be the best relative you can. That's all Creator wants from us.
What a great way to end this show. Haley, you're up next to end it here.
Free Leonard Peltier. Ow.
Free Leonard Peltier now. We'll be back tomorrow. You've been listening to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake.
Fall is here and it's the season of changes. But you know what doesn't change? The fun and excitement at the National Eagle Center in Wabasha. Pack up the family for a perfect day trip and take a drive to Wabasha to join the celebration during their Soar Fall Flight Festival happening September 23rd and 24th. They're highlighting fall migration along the Mississippi River Flyway and celebrating Native American cultures and their connections to eagles. You'll meet the live eagle ambassadors, catch an exciting program in the beautiful Riverfront Amphitheater, and enjoy a front row seat to fall migration. You can explore Native and Indigenous cultures by visiting the exhibitor booths from Effigy Mounds National Monument, Indigenous artist Inkpa Manny, and Native American craftsman Dick Mindikowski. Plus, meet live birds from the Midwest Peregrine Society. Register for an unforgettable eagle viewing trip or behind-the-scenes experience, and enjoy seasonal arts and crafts for all ages. It's a fall party with the eagles, and you're invited. Get
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.